I believe that girl could preach. What do you think?
Amen.
Well, let's go one more step. How many of you would come if she was preaching one Sunday? Amen. So the Lord spoke to me this week. I was planning on moving forward, and the Lord usually speaks to me right before I wake up. When I'm waking up, the Lord begins to speak to me, and the Lord spoke these words, and he said, do not move past the scripture that you preached last week. And so you may think that I just didn't have time to get a sermon this week, so I'd preach the same one. It's not the same sermon, but it is the same scripture. So turning your Bibles to John chapter 1, let's read a couple scriptures that we read last week, verses 32 through 34. It says, and John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Amen. Today, I'm talking to you. The title of this sermon is Jesus is the Baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Father God, we just come before you today. Lord, we already feel your presence. We know that you're here. We pray, God, that you would be unhindered today. Lord, let there be a freeing of the presence of God, a moving of the Holy Spirit that touches every heart, that brings us exactly what we need, the bread from heaven, God. Fill our souls, satisfy us, but don't just satisfy us, empower us, Lord, to do the will of the Father on earth, God. Lord, I know today in my spirit that we need revelation knowledge on this subject, God. We don't just need to hear from a man. We don't need to even be able to see and lay our eyes on it because there's too many preconceived ideas about the scriptures. So I pray, God, let revelation come from heaven through the Holy Spirit and touch our hearts and change the way maybe we've always thought. And so, God, we submit our will to you. We submit our thoughts to you. And, Lord, if there's something that we need to receive, Lord, I'm asking you, God, to move upon every heart. Make yourself real. In Jesus' name we pray. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. You are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The very first thing we see, I need a napkin. Somebody got a Kleenex for me? Is there one up here? Seems like I can never find them. Here's one. I got it. Jesus is the prototype of the Spirit-filled, Spirit-empowered life. Don't look to other people. Look to Christ, right? It says, John said, this is what I knew. He said, I didn't know Jesus. Now, they were cousins, but they didn't live close, so they didn't grow up together. And so he says, I didn't know him, but I knew something about him. He said, God sent me to baptize with water, but he told me that Jesus then would baptize with the Holy Spirit. He said, the person that you see the Spirit descend upon and remain. That's really important. These are the two words that I couldn't get out of my spirit. And remain. I talked to somebody today that I knew, or this week that I knew, that had been recently spirit filled, and I asked him, I said, are you praying in tongues? Are you praying in your spirit language? And they said, no, I'm not doing that. And it came to me that if you're not, you're training yourself to be an emotional prayer. You're training yourself that you have to feel something to pray. You don't feel anything. You don't wait for a goosebump. You see, when the Holy Spirit, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, He remains on you, just like He did Christ. So that gift is resident in you. And so if you're waiting for a goosebump, you're training yourself to be an emotional believer. What you need to do is take Scripture at face value and believe what He said. That gift comes upon you and He remains on you. Now, I found it very fascinating how John in one chapter is describing who Jesus is. Jesus was the Word made flesh, right? Jesus is the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb, right? And then today we see Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Now it's funny that the church agrees with the first two, but that third one is like half of the body of Christ is like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Didn't sign up for that. Now, I think I know this church pretty well. I believe that most of us are this way. If it's from Christ, I want it. If it's of Jesus, sign me up. I want all of Him. I want every ounce of the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit that I can get. So I don't want to be left out of anything. If there's a gift, sign me up. I want the gift. I want every part of Him. So the more that we know about Christ, the more that we will know about us. You need to know your own identity in Jesus Christ, right? Who has He made you to be? And the way you're going to find out who you are, don't you remember being 17 and thinking, who am I? Right? Maybe I was the only one. Trying to figure out who are you? Who am I? And so the more I have studied Jesus, the more I realize that's who I want to be. That's who I am. That power, that residence in Him. It says that when you see the Spirit descend and remain, He will baptize you, not the apostles. We've made it to be something it never was. We said, well, it's the apostles that did this, and therefore it ended when the apostles stopped. That's nonsense. Never says that in the Bible. Let's get our doctrine from the Word of God, not from a preacher, not from anybody. The Bible literally tells us you have no need for a teacher. Why? The teacher has come. Here's the Word of God. Study it. Get to know it. See what it says. Read it and study it and get to know Him. So in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God was present, right? We know that. The Spirit would come upon people. It came upon a lot of the Old Testament judges. But the Spirit, I've just got a few examples. In Exodus 31, it says He filled craftsmen with supernatural wisdom. Anybody need some of that? Anybody tired of making dumb decisions? You know you can't see tomorrow. You can't see 15 minutes into the day. But you know who can? You know who said He's already written your book? He knows your beginning from your end. Right? So it makes sense to me if I get to know Christ, He will give me the wisdom to live the best life that I possibly can, right? I can be the best. I'm not looking to be the best Eric. Even the best Eric will fail many, many people. I'm looking to let the Holy Ghost lead and guide and speak through me. Thank you for your enthusiasm today. In Numbers 11, it said 70 people began to prophesy. God told Moses to anoint Joshua to replace him. You know why? Because he was good in battle. It's not what it says. He says because the Spirit is with him. Moses himself was anointed by the Holy Spirit. Gideon was anointed by the Holy Spirit. These are Old Testament. It didn't just happen on the day of Pentecost, is what I'm trying to tell you. Samson wasn't even a good man. But the Spirit of God would come upon him to do great feats, right? Great things Samson would do, not because he was strong. I think if you would look at Samson, you would have saw an average looking fella until with long hair until the Spirit of God came upon him, right? Oh man, come on. Can we just think about that for a second? You see, people's going to look at you and they're going to think, well, that's just an average person. Well, what's so special about Brandy? Can I answer this? Nothing. Until the Spirit of God is there. What's so special about Eric? Not a thing. Until the Spirit of God starts speaking through him. Until the Spirit of God wakes him up and says, don't move past this scripture. Say, I don't know what you need, but the Holy Ghost does. You hear that? The Holy Spirit cares. He cares about your family. He cares about you. He wants to see your family restored, reunited. He wants to see you restored. I know sin has tried its best to take some of you out. And not just the former addicts in this place. I think so, when I make a statement like that, too many of us think I'm talking to this group over here. I'm not. I'm talking to every one of you. David, he would play music and the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him to the point that it would settle Saul down, right? Micah, chapter 3, verse 8, Micah, an Old Testament prophet, he says, but as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord. I am filled with justice and strength to boldly declare Israel's sin and rebellion. King David, after he committed murder and adultery, and the prophet Nathan came to him and pointed his finger in his face and said, you're the man, you're hiding from God. You're hiding your sin. You need to confess it. He made this statement in Psalms 51. He said, cast me not away from your presence. Come on, church. I can stop with food. I can stop a lot of things in my life. But the earnestness of my soul says, don't ever take your Holy Spirit away from me. I'm telling you, when you taste and see that God is good, you will not depart from that. He is the watering hole. He is the source of life. He is the joy of our salvation. Holy Spirit was present at creation when everything was just dark. It said the Spirit of God hovered. What was the Spirit of God hovering for? He was waiting for the command of God. He was waiting for God to speak. When God speaks, the Holy Spirit goes into action. It still happens today. When God speaks over you, the Holy... Woo, you hear... Woo. Man, I'm telling you, I feel this. When God speaks over you, the Holy Spirit goes into action. I'm going to have a nerve peel, I think. I'm just... What does it mean? Thank you. And I receive that. What does it mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? It's an immersion. Baptized means to dip. It's an immersion in the Holy Spirit. It's like pouring more clean water into a container until it overflows. Overflowing in your life. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, Jesus told his disciples, don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends the gift he promised. As I've told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Don't leave town without him. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's the third part of the Godhead. It's not an it. You would never refer to Jesus as it. You wouldn't call God it. Oh, it will touch you. No, no. He will touch you. He will change your life. Don't be afraid of the Godhead. No matter what foolishness you've seen, even in me, as I stomp across this pulpit, as I spit and holler and get excited, don't be afraid of Him. He will not do anything in your life that's not good. He only wants good for you. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 says, on the day of Pentecost, that's the feast, not the religion, on the feast of Pentecost, all the believers were together meeting in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. It filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like tongues or flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. The guy that had been hiding, the guy who had refused to acknowledge Jesus three times, all of a sudden on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, He is the one that stood up and preached to the multitude, and 3,000 people were saved that day. You don't think the Holy Spirit can change you? You don't think the Holy Spirit can bring out of you something that you don't see in yourself? Because it's not you, it's about Him. It's all about Jesus. Why do I need the Holy Spirit? Didn't I receive Him at salvation? You absolutely did. Hear me, hear me, hear me. This is not a salvation issue. Are you listening? I got to have your attention on this. I am not saying you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit so that you make it to heaven. That's not true at all. You don't have to speak in tongues or prophesy or have any of that to go to heaven. When you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that He rose from the dead, and you confess your sins and you say, God, I need You, and you ask Him in your heart, the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes in you. We say this, we say Jesus is in my heart. No, He's not. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, Scripture tells us. So who's in your heart? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is within you as a born again believer. So then that's the what I'm saying. Then the baptism of the Holy Spirit is something a little different. It's an immersion into the things of God. It's an immersion in, and I know some of you have been taught that this doesn't happen any longer. There's one scripture in Bible that people take one scripture and they say it's all passed away. It doesn't even make sense. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 8 through 10 says love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. And they teach that the perfect that has come is the Word of God. The Bible is the perfect that has come. And that didn't come till the end of the first century when the Word of God was canonized. That's not talking about the Word of God. The perfect one that will come is Jesus Christ in the second coming. Hear me, hear me, hear me. Can I prove it to you? Has knowledge passed away? Oh, we're quick to say tongues have passed away. But knowledge, it doesn't make sense, folks. You've been taught something that they did not rightly divide the word of truth. You're not getting me. The Holy Spirit is so valuable to us. It's so wonderful that Satan tried to hide it. Tried to hide him, excuse me. Are you following me? Why? Because he is the power of God. You need power to live. I'm telling you, you don't need less power today than you did 50 years ago. You need more power. You need more presence. You need more joy. You need more peace. You need more Jesus in you. Life is hard and dark's getting darker, Tony. And if dark keeps getting darker, you need the light of Christ in you. How does that come? It comes through the power of the Holy Ghost. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Power. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Two things. Power, and you'll be a witness. He does not say you'll do witnessing. There is a total difference. I can teach a monkey to witness. I can teach a monkey to stand on the street and hand out tracts. Matter of fact, I think I probably have. No, I'm teasing. There's a difference in doing and being. We can do things, but when the Spirit of God comes upon you, when He baptizes you in the Holy Spirit and the power of God, you become. You be. Your life will be a witness for Christ. It's not something you put on. It's not something you have to do. It's who you are. Whether you're in Kroger or Walmart or the gas station or church, it doesn't. When you walk into your office on Monday morning, the Holy Ghost just walked in the office. Now you shod your feet with a gospel of peace and let Jesus shine on you. And now I send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power on heaven. Romans 8:26, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. Have any of you faced something that you didn't know how to pray? Come on, look at me. You've been there? You've had tough times in your life. You went to the Lord and said, God, I don't even know how to pray. Right? The Holy Spirit will pray through you. He takes your weakness and He becomes strong in your life. Thank you, Jesus. I have a lot of weakness. In the book of Jude in verse 20, he says, but you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. When you pray in your heavenly language that goes beyond your mental capacity, you cannot figure this one out. Don't try to figure it out. The hardest people to accept this are you brainiacs. Just be a little stupid with your pastor today, okay? You're not gonna, how many people understand tithing? No, you don't. You understand what God says, but how can you give 10% away and have more left? That's not good math. It's God's math. That's right. Boy, you're talking to me today. I like that. There are tons of things in Scripture that you will not understand, and you'll never understand the gifts of the Spirit. How can the God speak through me? How can I go to Courtney and start praying and all of a sudden things that I don't know start coming out of my mouth? I don't know it. Treva will talk to me a lot of times. She'll say, did you know what you prayed for with that person? I said, I don't even remember. When I pray for you and I start praying, let the Spirit pray, I don't remember it. Why? Because it bypassed my brain. Which is a small part of me. Just scoots right by it. Does that make sense to you? you have this, 2 Corinthians 4:7, you have this power within you that the excellency of God, everyone will know that's not you. When you prophesy to someone, when you use the gifts of the Spirit, people will know that that wasn't Lucas. Does that make sense? It's God speaking through you. You are only a conduit. It's all you are. How many people want to be a conduit? That's sad right there. Can I ask that one more time? How many people want to be a conduit? You want God to use your words. Use my hands. Use everything about me to promote the gospel of God. Amen. Acts 10:38 says, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. If God thought Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, how much more do you need the Holy Spirit? He anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. And look at the next part. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Can I change that just a second? For God was with God. Does that make sense? Jesus is God, right? Jesus is God. The Word was made flesh. Philippians chapter 2, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He knew who he was, in other words, right? The Holy Spirit, for God was with God. If God needed the Holy Spirit, how much more do you need the Holy Spirit? I don't know if maybe you haven't figured this out yet, but you're not God. That's enough. You're not God. I need him. I need his power. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says the baptism of the Holy Spirit opens us to 9 gifts of the Spirit. Supernatural wisdom. Supernatural knowledge. These are not carnal things. These are not go to the university and study some more and you will get wisdom and knowledge. You'll get wisdom and knowledge, but it will be very earthly and most of the time ungodly. I know. So you're going to receive supernatural wisdom, supernatural knowledge, supernatural faith, supernatural gifts of healing, supernatural working of miracles, supernatural prophecy, supernatural discerning of spirits, so that you know what you're dealing with. Supernatural tongues and interpretations of tongues. It has not ceased. We are living in the same dispensation that the apostles moved in. Does that make sense? The dispensation of the church, the dispensation of grace in Acts chapter 1 started and has not stopped. So why would he change courses? Why would he say, I'm going to allow this to happen for 100 years and then for the next 2,000 years, we're going to let you go without? It doesn't make sense. If that's not of God, who's it from? It's from the enemy. Why? Because he knew. Listen to me. He knew if a bunch of believers get together and get empowered by the Holy Spirit, start moving in under the unction of the Holy Spirit, starts working the gifts of the Spirit, he cannot contain that church. What Paris Henry County needs is a bunch of godly people filled with the Spirit of God that's able to take the light of Christ into the dark world. Amen. If the baptism of the Holy Spirit continued after the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 8, Philip, the deacon, often called the evangelist, he went to Samaria and he began to preach, and the Bible says the whole town came out and repented. Salvation. But then Peter and John go to assist him with the saved people. And they begin to lay their hands on them and they receive the Holy Spirit. They were saved, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit came later. Does that make sense? Verse 17 says, Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers and they received the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 10, Peter gets a revelation from God. Remember, he's on the roof and he sees this sheep come down and he says, eat this food. And that good Jew said, I don't eat that kind of food and I'm not going to. And Jesus, or the God said, don't call what I've called clean, unclean. Somebody getting ready to knock on your door, Peter. They knocked on his door and he went with them. He went to the house of a Gentile. No, 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 no. You don't do that, good Jew. You don't go into the house of the unclean. But he went into the house of Cornelius. He began to preach to Cornelius, and all of Cornelius was a good man. There was a seeker of God. He began to preach to him and his friends and his family. That had never been done before. They wasn't for sure that this gospel that they were preaching was just to the Jew. But God says it's to the Jew first, then it's for the Gentiles, then it's everybody else. Peter took it to the house of Cornelius. And all of a sudden, he's just preaching to them. And all of a sudden, the Acts chapter 1 happened again, or Acts chapter 2. The baptism of the Holy Spirit fell upon the house of Cornelius, and they began to speak in tongues. But I thought that ended. It has not, it will not, not until we get to heaven. When we get to heaven, we won't need tongues. But today, I need my prayer language. I need to be able to intercede for people that I don't even know. I need to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me and to pray through me. I'm a vessel used by God. Nothing special about Eric, I promise you. Till the Holy Spirit enters him. Thank you, Jesus. Acts chapter 19, Paul is traveling. He ran into some believers from Ephesus. He began to talk to them and he said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said, we've not even heard of the Holy Spirit. What are you talking about? He said, well, what baptism are you? Have you been baptized? He said, John's baptism, which was salvation. So Paul laid his hands on them. The Holy Spirit came upon them and they began to speak with tongues. I know probably half of you in this church have been taught that this is not of God. I've been here. January, we start our 15th year and we served for 3.5 years as a satellite church. I'm going to ask you to do something for me. Will you trust me? Will you trust that I rightly divide the word? I'm telling you, I don't care what you've been taught. The Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for today. You need this power. Do you ever feel like, I don't know why, but I just need more? Yeah. And some of you already speak in tongues and you'd still say that. You know what you need? A refilling. Some of you got filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit 20 years ago and you've done nothing with Him. It's about being in His presence. There's a refreshing. There's a move of the Spirit of God as the glory of the Lord wants to fill the earth. How's he going to do that? He's going to do that through the church. Why do I need him? The Holy Spirit heightens your personal worship. The Holy Spirit makes you hunger and thirst for Christ. He leads you into all truth. He heightens your praise level. Many of you come to church here because of the worship. You love the freedom of worship. But when I start talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you say, stay away from me. You're weird. To which I would say, absolutely I'm weird. And love it. The Holy Spirit enables us to live a more holy, separated life for Christ. I'm ending. Galatians chapter 5, Paul writes this. He says, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. The Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you're not free to carry out your good intention. Verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces the kind of fruit in our lives like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and the one I desperately need, self-control. Against such, there is no law. In other words, there's no law written that you have too much self-control. You have too much joy. You know anybody that's got too much joy? You know anyone that's got too much love? I don't. I've met a lot of Christians that need a little dose of love, actually. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Do you need more? Would you stand with me? If you'd like to respond today, these altars are open. I would that you would just step out of your chair, come and stand down here, whatever your request is. Maybe you need refreshing. Maybe you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Say, Pastor, I don't even know, how do you receive that? Listen to me. God's made it really simple. You receive everything the same way with God. Everything. You ask, He gives. You receive. That's all there is. How many people want more? Man, would you come stand? We're not going to take a long time. We're just going to pray and believe. Do you need a refreshing? Do you need the power of God? You need to make better decisions in your life. You need wisdom. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. Everyone down here, because I want my deacons and elders, I want you to come and stand behind these folks. Would you come and stand behind them? Marvin, would you come stand behind these Jen, deacons, elders? Guys, come and stand behind them. Try to get someone behind every group of people. I want you to pray for yourself, but then I want you to pray for the people on both sides of you. All right? I want you to ask Him, God, I need a refilling of the Holy Spirit. Or maybe I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. You cannot do that if you refuse to open your mouth. You have to give Him the voice. You won't figure it out. One more thing I need to tell you. Don't seek the gift. Seek the giver. Don't seek the gift. Seek the giver of the gift. Seek Christ. Ask for the baptism. Ask to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let's sing this chorus. Just worship the Lord, and then we will pray. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we need you.
I need thee, oh, I need thee.
Of the Holy Spirit. Baptize me in the power and the strength of the Almighty God. Father, I pray right now for every person down here, God, that they would just receive today, God. Let them move past their own thoughts, God. Help them to receive by faith, God, what you have in store for them. Lord, let them receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with fire and power today, God. Change their lives. Open up a new avenue, God. Lord, do something mighty in them. In Jesus' name, we pray, God. We seek the face of God. We need more, Jesus. We need more. We want everything you have for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if the Lord, if you feel some words generating, the Lord, in your mind, just speak it out. Speak it out in Jesus' name. We're going to pray in tongues today in the congregation. Come on, let's pray. Father, baptize them. Baptize them in the Holy Spirit. Give them their prayer language today, Lord Jesus. Put your gifts in them, God. Give them supernatural wisdom, supernatural knowledge. God, we seek your face. We need you, Lord Jesus. Lord, where we work needs the presence of God. Lord, my family needs the strong presence of God. I pray that I represent you well, Lord. Let your power, let your majesty flow through me right now in Jesus' name. We receive, we ask, and we receive. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now pray for that person on your right and left. God, we intercede for those standing beside us. Lord, they're down here for the same reason I am. We need more. We need to decrease, and Christ needs to increase in us. I pray right now for my friend on my left. I pray right now for my friend on my right. I pray, Lord, that they would be a receiver today of the goodness of God, of the goodness of the Holy Ghost. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing it, Trina. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shalom.
Oh, I will bless the Lord.
I was moving. My intention was to preach the rest of this chapter. It was the Spirit of God that spoke to me and said, don't move past this. Do you understand that? This is not the wisdom of a man. This was God saying, this church needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power of God. I don't care where you're at on that spectrum. Maybe you've been a tongue talker for years. You need more. You need a refreshing in the Holy Ghost. Once he's there, he's always there. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Holy. Don't teach yourself to be an emotional believer. Teach yourself to be word-based. You pray in the Holy Ghost every day. Why? Because it builds you up. Say, Eric, I didn't receive my prayer language today. You just be patient. Be patient. I know people that have received in the shower. I know people that have woke up in the middle of the night speaking in tongues. You know what that tells me? They're so stinking hard-headed, God had to knock them out and then trying to figure it out. You get that? You're trying to figure spiritual things out. You'll never figure spiritual things out. It's beyond your natural comprehension. I can't even figure out the Trinity. Right? Explain that to somebody.
Well, there's three of them, but they're really one of them. They act like,
I don't know. I just trust. All I know is God is good. Every good gift comes from him. If you being evil would give good gifts to your children, how much more? You remember what he says? How much more will I give you the Holy Spirit? It's what Luke says. Be a receiver. Receive today. Receive. Don't make it something it's not. It's not difficult. It's not hard. He's not trying to withhold from you. He's trying to give to you. Amen. You just receive. Amen, Brother Denny.
Quick, don't forget, tonight is the Christmas program. Kids have worked really hard, so please come back and support them, help them to really get to see that everybody likes them doing this, and encourage them. Also, special blessing, you get to hear the Henry County High School Madrigals tonight. Just if you have no idea who that is, last night I had to pay $10 a person to listen to them sing. So tonight, you get the chance to hear them for free. So that should tell you right there the value that you have. So 6 o'clock tonight, I encourage you to come early so you can get a seat. With kids, there'll be grandparents, aunts, and uncles and coming. So don't want you to miss it. Raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.